103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for Friday afternoon, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. It's Brian Green, Peter Donegan and David Corscadden. And one of those three people won't be on the show today, but one of them will be. Two of them will be. I'm here. And who else is that on the phone? Hello, Peter Donegan.
Brian, how are you? Good to hear your voice again, my man.
Thank you very much. It's not often you come on the phone, so we're privileged to have you. I just want to mention, before I forget, there is a shop in Marino that, I think they're a nail bar and a beauty salon. They're called Sparkle. Have you ever seen them as you're driving into Marino?
It's not something I would keep my eye out for, Brian, if I'm very honest with
Shocking
you.
Pink is the colour scheme, but above the upper border of the front of the shop, they have, during the summertime only, a massive array of beautiful pink flowers, pinks and whites. And I just have to say, here on The Sod Show, where we do things all floral and horticultural and gardening, that it has got to be one of the, they try the hardest. They it looks beautiful during the summer, and I just thought I'd mention that. So if anyone knows them, tell them you heard them mentioned here on Dublin City FM, and we do notice these things and we like to mention what we see nice and beautiful in our city. Peter, this week on The Sod Show, we have the return of Jane Powers.
We do indeed. It is great to have her back on the show. Jane is the Sunday Times garden correspondent, Ireland edition, an accomplished author. Do I call her an authoress, Brian, or just author?
Author.
Oh, author. And also a delightful lady. And I have to say, without question, I think you'll agree with me on this one, one of the most beautiful voices that I could ever hear. And Jane, who we shall hear in a minute, I would, honest to God, listen to her read me bedtime stories. As silly as that might sound, it is quite true.
Have you got a favourite bedtime story, Donegan?
And they all lived
happily ever after.
Yeah, except for I was reading Hans Christian Andersen to my daughter midweek, and I was throwing a couple of them up on audio so I could play them back for her during the day and she could hear herself talking, and some of the tail endings were just a little bit odd, to say the least, but maybe it was of that genre and era that it fitted quite well. But yes, mermaids going off and getting married at 15 years of age and then throwing themselves out to sea because the princess really didn't want to have anything to do with them because he ran off with somebody else. Yeah, it's just one of them. Anyhow, back to gardening and things a little bit more mature.
So easily we go off topic. Also on today's programme, we will be hearing from, is it County Kildare, farmer Simon Kenny?
Yes, Lilywhite County. He is over that part of the country. Simon and Ruth would be, I would have to say, good friends of mine, and I hope I'm not being demeaning in saying this, but beginner gardeners, I think, is what they would like to refer to themselves as. They're on a journey, and it's a nice journey.
And their polytunnel part three, I think, we're going back to, or is it part, it's part two, because I think we heard part one, but I told you to go and watch a video on YouTube. But we'll get part two in audio from them coming up. We'll also be going to Ballybuckle, North County Dublin, and we'll be hearing a little insert from you about apple picking. You got your crop of apples, did you?
Got a crop of apples, and I was wandering around the garden, wee Ella by my side, and the dogs and the hens and Noah's Ark in the background. And it kind of, you know, it's funny, Brian, and you go and you study 4 years of horticulture and you do all of these things that make me sound extremely eloquent, and then you go and you pick apples with your daughter, and what's, you know, my God almighty, such big smiles, and worth every single cent. Yeah, just a Saturday afternoon spent with my daughter, Brian, picking apples, and I don't know whether the eating is going to be the fun bit or not, but for a few moments in time, there was big smiles and a little bit of singing and happy days and rolling around the grass. And
well, I tell you what,
all good fun.
I'll put my order in for an apple pie right now. In the mailbag here at the Sod Show, we've got something in from Kildalton College. They're having horticulture career days. It's coming up over the next couple of weeks, and you can check them out. Just Google Kildalton College, and they will be doing an open day as such for if you want to have a career in horticulture. They have level 5 and level 6 programs and progression to and from other horticultural courses, fruit and vegetable crop production, landscape construction, nursery stock production, landscape design and maintenance, and sports turf. Kildalton College, Donegan, tell us about it.
Well, it was my own college, Brian, so it comes highly recommended. I have to apologise to some of my old lecturers, because I would have been, my hair would have been long back in the day, Brian. Long, curly hair is what I had, and if you can find that photograph via Google Images, well, God bless your cotton socks and your worn down fingers, but it's there somewhere. No, Kildalton College really is. It's a great place to go. Piltown, County Kilkenny is where it is, bordering Carrick on Shore and just outside of Waterford. So I had a long trek home, rarely came home. But I think it would be fair to say that I would owe most of my lecturers and instructors in there
a hearty hello from the radio.
A hearty hello and a round of applause. But yeah, I have a lot to be thankful for, and probably one of them is putting up with me in the first place. But yeah, highly recommend it.
Okay, listen, we're 7 minutes into the show, and we've mentioned Google twice, but let's not mention them again, because that's just our third mention. We're going to go beside the seaside, beside the sea. Let's go outdoors and the east coast of Ireland. County Wicklow, I believe. This is Jane Powers.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Brian. Hello, The Sod Show. I've left my garden and I've come down to Kilcool Beach in County Wicklow, which is a favourite place of mine. And it's a seaside habitat like many others along our coast. And it's got beautiful shining light and all is beige and green and blue, and it's airy and refreshing. I just love the quality of the light here and the cleanness of everything. But what's this got to do with gardening? Well, I'm sitting here in a strip of vegetation between the railway track and the sea, and I'm sitting in amongst the marum grass and the lyme grass, trying to shield the microphone from the wind. And where I am offers a perfect example of a specialised plant community. Because all the plants along here, there's a couple dozen species, they're all adapted to deal with the harsh conditions of the seaside. Now, I know the sun and the sea and the sand may not seem harsh to us, but in fact, to plants, they have a very desiccating effect. That is, they can dry out all their tissues. So all the plants here are adapted in some way. They might have thin leaves, or they might have blue leaves, which reflect the light, or silvery leaves, which also reflect the light, or they might have fleshy leaves, which help to conserve moisture. It's interesting to look at these, because so much of gardening has to do with connections. And if we can understand how plants behave in the wild habitats, then we can better understand them in our gardens. And some of them, in fact, are related to the plants that we grow in our gardens. For instance, the one I'm looking at here is a sea holly, which I was talking about last time I was on the Sod Show. I was talking about Eryngium giganteum, Miss Wilmot's ghost, which was from the Caucasus. But the one I'm looking at here is Eryngium maritimum, which is our native sea holly. It's a delicate one compared to the one I was speaking about a couple of weeks ago. It's only about a foot tall, but it's spiny and blue and shiny. And it's got beautiful cone-shaped flowers of lovely mauvey lilac. The reason I really like it, though, is that, like all sea hollies, it is beloved of insects, and especially the six-spot burnet moth, which is a mad-looking moth with jet-black wings covered in red spots. Well, six spots, actually, on each wing. And the combination of this blue sea holly and the black and red moth just make this wonderfully cartoon-like picture. The roots of this sea holly, apparently, according to Shakespeare and other people who knew about these things, are aphrodisiac. But I wouldn't recommend that you dig them up and try them because, well, it's a protected plant and it's not a great idea to go digging up plants from the wild. So just admire it and take photos. This sea holly, and indeed all sea hollies, are members of the Apiaceae family. And the name in the roundabout way comes from the Latin word for bee, apis, that's A-P-I-S. There's around 300 species in this plant family, including a lot that we would know quite well, like carrot and celery, hogweed, cow parsley, fennel, and dill. And my next plant, which I'm looking at here, and it's rock samphire, and its botanical name is Crithmum maritimum, and it has fleshy leaves, like tiny little lime green fingers all pointing up at the sky, and small little umbrellas of flower. And the one I'm looking at is just covered in flies and insects and hoverflies, and that noise was my dog just passing with a stick. And my next plant is sea beet, or sea spinach. Its Latin name is Beta vulgaris, subspecies maritima, and it's related to our own garden spinach and garden beet, and you can tell by its kind of diamond-shaped leaves, and it looks like our spinach, except it's a little bit shinier and more succulent, and it's gone to seed now, so it's no good for eating, but earlier in the year you can come down and pick a few leaves and then bring them home for your dinner. My last plant is a very rare seaside plant called yellow-horned poppy, Glaucium flavum. And it produces huge curving seed pods, which is where you get the horned poppy name from. And before that it has lovely egg yolk yellow flowers. And it's quite rare and precious, so do mind where you walk if you see it. And so those are just four plants that live very happily by the sea here all over Ireland. So go and have a look in the next week or two before it's too late. So that's it from me. Over and out.
Wonderful as ever, Jane Powers. 103.2 Dublin City FM, it's The Sod Show. Peter, what do you think of that?
Absolutely wonderful, as always, by Jane. And you can catch her every single Sunday in the Irish edition of the Sunday Times. Her blog is onebeanrow.com and at Powers Flowers. Brian, I have to apologise. I'm in the middle of a garden and I've just had my cup of tea while listening to Jane, but I literally have to go. I have about 100 and, oh God, about 400 plants to get in before close of this weekend, and hopefully the weather stays somewhat on side for me.
Okay, listen, some cake for your cup of tea then, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, Brian. I'll be keeping my ear out for the rest of the show.
Okay, song of the week, The Cake Sale, Lisa Hannigan, Gary Lightbody, Some Surprise.
Your lips come some surprise, they would want to come and meet mine. They never taste like the last time. Your lips come some surprise. I was always a special child, and circuit boards from my inside, and all I dreamed of was flying high. So your lips came some surprise. Your lips came some surprise, but they would want to come and meet mine. They never taste like the last time. Your lips came some surprise. Surprise.
me yours and I've shown you mine. Even after all this time, your lips come some surprise. Your lips come some surprise, but they want to come meet mine. You know,
written by Paul Noonan of Bellex One, Gary Lightbody and Lisa Hannigan, Some Surprise. What is it about Donegan and cake? Let's get back outdoors. Simon and Ruth are in Kildare, building a polytunnel.
Hi, Sad Show. Ruth here.
And Simon here.
We're in the polytunnel again today. We just finished laying out a thin layer of mulch over the beds. We were having a problem with root exposure when I was watering the beds. The various roots of tomatoes and quinoa and all the plants in the beds were being exposed because the soil just seemed to wash right away. It's almost as though they're eating the soil, and it's just getting thinner and thinner. And so to solve that problem, we collected some wood chips from a tree that we had recently cut up in the woods, and we brought it up here today and spread it out, and hopefully that will retain some moisture and protect the roots and solve all of our problems.
All of our problems, roots? Since the last show, we were having problems with pollination of tomatoes and lack of wind. So under the advice of Peter Donegan, we cut an unmerciful hole in the back of the tunnel in the plastic. It's like a circular window. And it seems to have done the job. It's cooled the temperature a bit in here, and I mean, we don't really feel the wind coming through, but there's a noticeable improvement of tomatoes appearing on the plants, and there's a lot more bees coming through. It's they seem to be finding their way in and out, no problem. Tell me about the quinoa, Ruth.
Right.
First tell me what it is.
Oh, okay, quinoa. So quinoa is, it's essentially it's a grass, and when it goes to seed, you can collect the seed, and you cook them like rice. I mean, you have to rinse them first, but then you can just cook them up like rice and use them in any dish that calls for rice. They're really delicious and healthy.
They go great in burritos.
They do. They're also a perfect protein for all of you vegans out there. They're very tasty. So anyway, they're hard enough to come by in Ireland, considering they grow in South America. Easy for me when I was in California, not so easy now. So I've been experimenting, trying to grow my own, and with very little success, although I'm finally starting to see some progress with six of the plants that I planted. They seem to be getting a seed head, and they're quite tall. They're in the back of the polytunnel, So that's exciting. Hopefully we'll get some quinoa.
Cool. You've been having problems with, we've been having problems with caterpillars. Tell me more.
Yes, caterpillars. So I started to notice a lot of holes in my beautiful basil plants. And when I flipped the leaves over, I found these horrible little green monsters that I've been handpicking for the past couple of weeks now. They just seem to explode in the polytunnel. They weren't there, and then they were everywhere. And since we're doing this all organic, like we couldn't just go get some pesticides or anything. So I've been handpicking these nasty little caterpillars and disposing of them. And it seems to be working. It seems to be under control at this point. I'm still finding them, but far less frequently. And that's an improvement.
Cool. Other than that, the basil plants have been doing really well, and they are gorgeous in a salad. This has turned into a food show, isn't it? if you had, a few of your own tomatoes and a bit of basil, a bit of mozzarella, a bit of olive oil drizzled over it, there you have it. A caprese salad, I believe. I'm learning a lot from Ruth about good food, and it's great. We'll have a quick chat about the redwoods. Tell me more, Ruth.
So I'm trying to grow some redwoods. It's actually fairly tricky. I bought 100 seeds. I followed the instructions to the letter, and I ended up with 6 sprouts. So not that much success, but I'm happy enough to have 6. I just repotted all of them, and they are quite happy. They are only about an inch tall, but, you know, here's hoping.
Yeah, they were chowing down good strong roots, so they needed a bit more room. The redwoods are redwood sequoia, and they're native of North America, mm-hmm. especially California, where Ruth is from. So we're hoping to have...
They're actually generally only on the West Coast in America, so and definitely heavily in California. We're hoping to plant a little grove ourselves. The thing about redwoods is they get really tall, but they have a shallow root system, and so in nature you find them in these circles, like holding each other up. So we're aiming to plant one of those somewhere on the farm.
Yeah, so there you go. Food, farming, and trees. What more do you want? Okay. On a side note, Brian Green was wondering about myself as Farmer Simon Kay on Twitter and what that's got to do with gardening. Well, it's kind of gardening on a large scale, Brian. I'm not sure how well up you are on gardening, but I'm only messing. I'm farming here with Ruth and my father on a tillage farm, but I've only started to get the green thumb this year with the help from Ruth, and I'm loving it. So
what do you farm?
Oh, I farm mostly spring barley, which once it's harvested goes into feed for cattle and pigs and whatnot, and then we make a bit of hay on the grassland here. So yes, I'm a farmer, but I love gardening and nature and all sorts, and I think most farmers do. So it's all linked in really at the end of the day. So yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
From big trucks to teeny weeny polytunnels. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Ruth. Peter Donegan, will you sign them up for the whole year for next season? We want them on the Sod Show. Stay with us, guys. We want to hear what you're growing. It's time to get back outdoors again. Here's Peter Donegan with Ella, and they're collecting apples.
Yes, indeed, Brian. It is Ireland's Best Podcast 2012. To matters of the garden, I am in between what I call my little cul-de-sac of fruit trees. For want of a better description, it is the cheater's guide to growing your own. And I do love the fact that with fruit trees, you can just about neglect them for an entire year. And all of a sudden they turn around and go, "Hey, Dad, it's my birthday again. What did you get me?" Except you don't have to give them anything and they just give you lots of things. Yeah, baby. That's for the hens, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's happened is, if you look at most apple fruiting trees, they tree as a crowd is the general rule. And so you'll see Monty Don a couple of months ago, and he was saying, "Oh, pick out the baby apples, or you'll have two of the strongest and you pick out the middle one," generally speaking. Yeah, well, I didn't. I waited until they got a little bit more so I could get a little bit of juice for my money, pardon the cliched pun. And now we've got to that point where I must pick out the central one. Also, what we have found is that some of them, just by the nature of the lovely weather that we have sometimes in Ireland, have decided to fall. And also, like I said, the primary function of my little fruiting cul-de-sac is to provide a little bit of privacy. So I don't really mind how they grow. It's more, I get a byproduct of lots of apples. And they're now into about their fourth year, and some of them haven't done anything, and some of them haven't done a whole lot, and some of them had a bad year last year, the year before, and that happens. So you mix and match the varieties. And then, of course, there is that golden rule to picking an apple, which is never with your fingertips. It's the inside of your knuckle, if that makes any sense to you. So if you're walking around your supermarkets and you see wee little bruisings on your cooking apples, you'll have a rough idea that somebody hasn't been trained in how to pick up an apple. Hold on, is that bag heavy?
Yeah.
It's a lot of apples in it.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, what are we going to do with them there?
Mommy.
We give them to Mom for making? Yeah, do you want to put them into the other bag?
Yeah.
Okay, or Dad can carry it. So yeah, me and Ella are out and we're just picking apples. And, you know, she's been pulling everything off left, right and centre. But we had a series, not like Cheers or Dallas, one of those kind of series. We had a series of overabundance of apples about 4 or 5 years ago, if I remember correctly. And what happened was, I gave some apples up the way. What happened? They made us an apple tart and sent one back down. No matter who we gave them to, they sent us back an apple tart. We had apple tarts coming out of our places. There's a lot to be... Holy crap, the size of that bird. There's a lot to be said for, and it goes back to planting something in the ground and just ignoring it. And then it coming back and going, hey, look what I got you for Christmas. That's like the best... Okay, this sounds all wrong, but the best girlfriend you could ever have in your life, doesn't it? You go on down to the pub, honey. When you get back, I'll have baked you more stuff.
Yeah.
Ah, well done. I'm joking. That sounds a real chauvinistic way of describing an apple tree, but you get what I'm saying. So we've got like 5 cherry trees that I've never actually cropped off before in my life. And I've got 5 cooking apples, 5 eating apples, then 5 plum trees, then 1 fig tree and another 5 eating apples again. One of the eating apple trees, he hasn't really done that this year, and the plums haven't really done a whole lot this year. But one of the eating apples has. So, hold on a second. Ella, where are you going? Oh, there she is. It's all right, she's back. Oh, before we go, one of Ireland's youngest gardeners, Ella Donegan, would you like to say hello?
Yeah.
Would you like to sing a song?
Yeah.
Sing another song.
Yeah.
Do you like picking apples?
Yeah.
Do you want to say hello to Brian? Oh, sorry, that's the dog. Do you want to say hello to Brian? Nah, she doesn't want to say hello to Brian. All right, that's it, man. Gotta go. A lot more apples to pick, and I'll talk to you later. Bramley's old school, rock and roll.
Ella Donegan, you are the best. That's about it for the Sod Show. No time for anything but to say thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Catch you next Friday, 3 p.m., 103.2, Dublin City FM.